Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 54 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clegg and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store for you today with a great guest. But before we bring on that guest, let's bring on my co-host from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what is up, man? First pitch is just 2 days away. You said
the Toolshed gang is going to be together for the first time. It's going to be great. I'm excited to meet everybody in the fantasy community. It's going to be an awesome week. Looking forward to it. And that starts in 2 days, man. That's crazy. So as you're listening to this, we'll be in Arizona. We'll be getting some live looks at a lot of players. So we'll be able to hopefully give you some good evals on prospects as we'll be at, you know, Arizona Fall League. Hopefully catch a few Instructs games as well while we're out there. So it's going to be a good time. And tonight, as we're recording, it's going to be a good episode as well that precedes that. And looking forward to our guest. This guest gave me my first start in the fantasy industry. So it's a special honor to be able to chat with him. Just going back to, you know, almost a year and a half ago now, I guess, we first ever podcast was on his show in a little bite-sized pod that we did on the bumps. And then my first ever article I wrote was with him as well. So looking forward to this special guest that we got today.
Well, look at you just reminiscing, going down memory lane.
Good times, man.
So you probably already figured out who our guest is, but this man will also be out at First Pitch Arizona. He can be considered the Sultan of Streaming, the King of Kelnick Hatred, and a pitching maestro. That's right. Michael Simeone is in the house. Michael, what's up, man?
Eric, you want to tell everyone why I'm excited to go to First Pitch?
I can't figure out why you might be excited, Michael.
No, I got to get some duct tape ready.
Yeah, I lost. Everyone probably knows that's listening probably has seen our bet or our bet updates throughout the last 2 months. I did lose the bet. He finished at like, what, 226 or something like that. He was like 10 points below it or something like that. He made a valiant effort. Came storming back and got up to like 232, 233, like week and a half left. But then he kind of slumped again. So I did lose the bet. So luckily, Michael was being a nice gentleman and not making me ruin my Kelnick shirt. Whereas he put a piece of duct tape and then write the word sucks on the duct tape so I can not have to, you know, ruin a very good Roto-Wear shirt, very high quality Roto-Wear shirt. But yeah, it'll be fun to meet you both in person, because I think this is, Michael, is this your first pitch, Michael?
Yeah, my first one, yeah.
Yeah, and this is Clegg's first. Yeah, so yeah. It'll be fun to meet both of you finally in person after talking with you guys endlessly over the last 2 years, and
yeah,
meet some other great people that I didn't meet last time. So it's going to be a fun time. But we got this podcast before that. And before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Michael is at SP Streamer. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at AirCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both Chris and I. And of course, check out all the other great written work and audio work on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcast, SP Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. I think we have a lot of fantasy football podcasts now, but it is the season for some people. Always baseball season here on the Toolshed. But let's get right into this week's episode. If you recall, last week we had Corbin Young on to talk some 2021 hitter breakouts and if we kind of trust the breakout or not in 2022 and beyond. So let's do the same thing this week with some pitchers. We got like, I don't know, 10 or 12 names on the list. A lot of good names. We'll start out west with a couple of San Francisco Giants, Kevin Gausman and Logan Webb. We'll start with Gausman because I think a lot of differing opinions out there on Kevin Gausman. Michael is a bit higher on him than I am. So I'll just give it right to you, give you the floor right off the bat here, Michael. Do you believe in what we saw from Kevin Gausman here in 2021?
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit before we came on, and I'm kind of hoping someone could give me a reason to lower him just because, you know, a heavy splitter pitcher is usually not a good thing. But there is always, you know, an exception, right? And it looks like Gausman seems to be it. His last 3 months, I know he struggled and he came with a 4.08 ERA, but the problem is that came with a 3.37 FIP and the strikeout rate remained high. So, I think that he was just a little unlucky there, and it's really hard for me to find any holes in his arsenal and everything he's doing. I mean, when he came over to the Giants, they basically were what we always think when we look into pitchers. They're like, hey, your splitter is amazing. Your four seems good. Just throw the splitter a crap ton and, you know, rock those two pitches and trust me, you're going to be fine. And it ended up working. And I know Eno Saris actually did a really good article on him recently as well. And he was looking into why Gausman had a little bit worse of a second half. And basically it was just Gausman had trouble with his extension with the fastball, and it wasn't getting up in the zone like it typically was. And he ended up making a minor adjustment. And if you look at the last couple starts and the end of the season, he improved and was pitching well again. And he fixed that. And it was just a minor tweak. So again, it's just hard for me to find any holes there. And it's tough to believe in a two pitch pitcher, but clearly he's making it work and it's hard to just go against it at this point.
Yeah. I agree with you. There's not a lot of holes, but I just don't see, like, when I compare 2020 to 2021. And I know 2020 obviously was the shortened season, which he only had, you know, about a third of the starts he did this year. But like nothing in the underlying numbers to me, like that I'm looking at, like signal a, you know, ERA drop of almost a full run. So he was 3.62 in 2020, 2.81 this year. You know, a lot of the ERA indicators this year were about the same as they were last year. So I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff. You know, I have him ranked a bit lower than most. I still think he's going to be good, a good number two next year, for sure. But I'm not sure if I'm buying him at like an ace level, which is where I think he's going to be drafted for the most part from what I'm seeing and what I'm seeing people talking about. But Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's one that I've really struggled with. Like, I don't fully know what to make of him, I guess, because, you know, I saw him pitch in Atlanta and with the struggles that he had in Atlanta. I mean, that's a few years back now, but still, it's interesting to see, you know, the changes that he's made. I do worry a little bit about the arsenal. It's interesting to be a two-pitch guy and be four-seam splitter. I find that kind of interesting. But again, it's worked. It's funny to see him, you know, he's dropped the changeup usage pretty significantly, throws a slider in there, you know, a hair. I mean, he's throwing the changeup 6% of the time this year and the slider 5.9% of the time. So not very often, but I don't know. It's just interesting. I struggle, like you mentioned. I think that the adjustments that he made, you know, those last two starts were legit. But at the same time, like, I wonder if more regression could be coming. But also, you look at what the Giants have done with pitching, and they've just really developed guys, and you have to trust that. And so I'm kind of like up in the air, like what I really want to do with him. I'll probably be lower than most on him. I probably won't get him in a lot of drafts, but I still think he can be a solid pitcher. I'm just not sure he's going to pitch at the level that we saw this year.
Yeah, no, I can guarantee I won't get any shares of Gausman because in the 12 teamer or 15, there's going to be at least one person, probably more than one, that are higher than me on Kevin Gausman. But, you know, Michael, what are your thoughts on his fastball? Because I kind of, you know, when he's a two-pitch guy, and yeah, the fastball usage has kind of gone down, you know, incrementally over the last couple of years. But you look at the metrics on that fastball, and it's like, outside of this, and this year was probably actually his best year with the fastball, 257 batting average against, 416 slug. Before that, it was like 280, 323, 313, 306. Slugging was always around like 500 to 550 or so. So I don't know if I like him being a two-pitch guy and with his one of those two pitches being a kind of a so-so middle-of-the-road offering. What are your thoughts on that fastball?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to really I'm curious if the movement changed at all in the past few years. I'd have to really look at it. But I mean, it's not like it's a bad pitch. I mean, the ISO is not horrendous on it. But I think it's more so has to do with how he utilizes it. I think he's just really good with the sequencing when it comes to his fastball and the splitter and alternating between the two and knowing when to throw it. Like, I know there was actually, I read something on Scherzer too. I forget which one of his pitches, but one of his pitches actually on paper looks horrible in terms of the way it moves and everything, but it performs really well because Scherzer just knows when to throw at the perfect times. And I think that's what you kind of see from Gausman. I mean, the P-val on his fastball, which is 14.2, is pretty damn high. So he's clearly utilizing it in their correct times and, you know, obviously benefiting greatly from it. So while the numbers aren't elite or anything, I think he just knows when to throw it and does it well. And that just really coincides and helps with the splitter.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now I'm looking at the movement profile right now. It hasn't really changed too much.
It hasn't. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically almost the same as last year.
Because I know,
not a big difference in the movement.
I know he did up his velocity compared to 2018 and 2019. So
yeah,
I mean that definitely is something to do with it as well.
Yeah, he was 93.9 in 2019 and 95.1 last year, 94.6 this year.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to know why. Like, you looking at the month to month breakdown of like his pitch mix. You know, early on it was about 52% four seam and like 35% splitter. And then June, he hit 40.6% splitter, 49% fastball. And then it went the opposite direction like the rest of the season. Like, the four-seam trended up to, in September, at near 57%, and the splitter was down to 33.5%. So I'd be interested to see why, especially looking at the breakdown of month by month. Like, the fastball got hit pretty hard in July, August, and September. So, you know, it's interesting to see that. And I wonder, you know, is he going to go back to using that splitter at a higher rate. You know, definitely, I think I'd like to see that a little more out of him.
Well, I think it depends on the feel too. I mean, we saw that happen with Montas this year, where it was spiking up and down with his splitter usage, and everyone's wondering, because when he throws a splitter a ton, his numbers are ridiculous, and it's like, why aren't you doing this more? And it's got to be a feel thing. I mean, if they don't feel it before the game, they're not going to throw it as much, and vice versa. So I think, you know, there are going to be little spurts when it comes to splitter of, in terms of usage, at least.
Yeah.
And the splitter has always been, I think, the hardest pitch to really control on a consistent basis. Like, you look back over the years, like, how many pitchers, like really good pitchers you can think of that had elite splitters for a long time? Like, the two that come to my mind are three, really. You got Clemens, you got Schilling, and I just had another one in my mind, but it's not many, right? Like, and we see now with Gausman and Montas, it's kind of, it comes and goes. It's such a field pitch. It's such, I tried throwing it in high school. I couldn't. Like, I would just spike it in the ground 20 feet in front of me every time I threw it, or like it would just sail in the air like 30 feet over the catcher's head. It's like, it's just such a hard pitch. And I'm just some dude here in Maine that topped out at like 79 miles an hour at my peak. But moving on here to his teammate, Logan Webb, who just came off a gem in game one or game two, I forget, but had a gem the other day against the Dodgers and had a really good season all around here. Finished with a 3.03 ERA, 111 whip, and a 26.5% strikeout rate over 148 and a third innings. Are you buying that Logan Webb breakout, Michael? I'm buying it a little more than I'm buying Gausman, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm certainly buying it. I kind of hate that he just performed so well, because I feel like he's just going to bump him up in every draft even more, especially if he continues. If he continues pitching like that throughout all the playoffs, he's going to go too high. But I mean, it's not even that small of a sample too. I think he's got like 150 innings or something like that. So it's not even like we have a small sample to go off of with him. I mean, he's got solid command. It's just really good stuff. The two breaking balls are good. The changeup gets those ground balls. The curveball induces whiffs and creates chases. And then his sinker is really good at inducing weak contact too. So he's got that high ground ball rate, which I personally always like, with a high CSW, a pretty good K walk. So it's just, he's another one that's hard to kind of poke holes into. And then plus he gets a lot of movement vertically on his pitches, which typically always leads to more strikeouts compared to horizontally. So again, a lot to like there, and it's kind of hard to find anything bad about him right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you can't really poke any holes in this profile. All the metrics back it up. You know, ERA indicators are basically in line with that ERA. And, you know, he was under three for basically the entire season until that last start where you have like four earned and seven and a third or whatever it was. But what I'm wondering is there a next level? Like, people are kind of valuing him as like an ace. I've seen some people say he was a top 10 starter. I'm not sure if he has like that level of K upside. You know, I think he could be like a 25 to 27% K guy, which is definitely very good, above average. But can he get to that next level to be an ace? I'm not sure. Do you think he can, Michael?
I think so. I mean, what makes you think he can't get there?
I just don't know if I see like that much more K upside.
Oh, K upside.
Yeah. I think he's a low three ERA.
I mean,
25%
the sinker. Yeah, the sinker is definitely going to limit him there, because sinkers are meant for weak contact. You're not really going to get whiffs on it, unless it's a power sinker, which he doesn't throw that fast, so that's not going to happen. He's not a Sandy Alcantara. But I mean, you're probably right, honestly. Unless he develops something, unless something else comes into play, unless his four seam does take a step forward in some kind of way. But as of right now, I get that. I it's a good point, honestly.
Yeah, it's like I'm not like out on Logan Webb. I think I kind of echo what I said about Gausman. Like
top tier, right?
Yeah, I think he's gonna be a very solid number two, which is kind of where I have him ranked both in my 2022 rankings and for Dynasty. But Chris, what are your thoughts here? Are you buying into Logan Webb?
I mean, to an extent, yeah. And more than Gausman, because he's 24 years old, so he's started developing things at a younger age. You know, Gausman breaking out at age 29 and 30 is, you know, a little less believable. And not to say that that can't happen, but to see Webb do it at a younger age is more impressive. I mean, the strides he made from last season were tremendous. And I don't think any of us could have saw that coming. It was hard to look at the numbers last year and say, like, there's anything here in the profile that looks like he could be a fantasy relevant starter. And this year he blossomed into an ace, which is highly impressive. You know, the innings next year could be a little concern. It'll be interesting. I think I wouldn't say concern. I mean, he threw 148 in the regular season this year. So maybe he gets to 175 next year. I think 25 is a reasonable jump, but you have to factor in the postseason too. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that he's probably a 25% strikeout guy. I don't really see much more upside there. And it's possible, though. I mean, you look at like the path that Aaron Nola followed as a young pitcher, where he was pretty sinker ball heavy his first couple years and then transitioned away from that and, you know, worked on the four seam and developing that pitch more and, you know, kind of just changed his arsenal completely. And yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibility. So I'm not saying that it's impossible, but if Webb's going to be a sinker baller, which I think he's been pretty effective at doing, then I don't see the K upside there. So I have to limiting.
I have to say the one thing I do see, though, is that he has a high cold strike rate. I feel like that will fluctuate, though, year in and year out. It's kind of hard to sustain that. But I think that could help his strikeout rate be a little higher than we would think. I mean, he has a 31 CSW. That's only 0.6 lower than Scherzer.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But do you think the called strike rate could regress next year then?
I mean, it's hard to tell because this is our first year of really seeing him. Like some guys like Aaron Nola can, you know, do it every season. So it just kind of depends. It's something that we have to wait and see, really. But I think he does have the command to do it. It's just a matter of, is that, at least this year he did. It's just a matter of, is that command going to be consistent?
Yeah. I know last year's a shortened season, but I look and his called strike rate was 18.9%. It was 18.5 this year. So, you know, it's interesting to see at least. So
next year.
I think next year will be telling for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be another interesting thing too, because this is really the first, he's had some stints in the major leagues, but not to this level. So I wonder if hitters will adjust to Logan Webb next year and if can he maintain this level of success, but he definitely has the command. Like you look at, you know, the heat maps on here, sinker's great, slider's great, changeup's good, fastball kind of all over the place. But it really his three pitches that he uses the most, those sinker, slider, changeup, which account for about 89 or so percent of his pitches, are at least above average commanded pitches. So I just want to see if he can get, you know, like he only has the one pitch. Like that slider's great, you know, 156 batting average against, 47.1% whiff rate. Doesn't really have that second. The changeup is an okay pitch.
It's like average.
It screams average. Like whiff rate's 29.3, 263 batting average against, 365 slug. So definitely an average. If that can take a step forward, and then the four seamer, which has never really been a good pitch for him. Like he used that one 33.7% last year, but he was hit around hard. 329 batting average against, 507 slug. So definitely, you know, reducing that usage, upping that sinker usage did wonders for him. But I think if he could improve the changeup and the fastball a bit, be a little more effective with those, I think you could see him get that little more K bump. But we'll see. Definitely one I'm intrigued by in 2022 for sure. Real quick before we move on, who are you guys taking in 2022, Gausman or Webb?
I feel like on draft day, I would end up picking Webb.
Webb, yeah. Chris?
I trust Webb a little more.
Yep.
I think they're going to go higher in drafts than I'm going to be able to pay up for either of them.
Do you think especially if Webb, how do you think the ADP rises on Logan Webb? So let's say he has, you know, even just one more good start, and even if San Fran doesn't make it out, you think he could sneak up into the top 50 ADP?
I think so. I think he'll crack in the third round. So I think around 40 overall.
Yeah.
I think
it's kind of where I have him. So
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm going to be that high person on him.
All right. Moving on here. Do we have another couple? Let's go to the opposite coast here. Go down to Miami. Sandy Alcantara and Trevor Rogers both had big breakout seasons. And Chris, and I'll start with you here on Alcantara because you were kind of driving that train back in our preseason episodes here. I'm sure I already know the answer to this, but are you buying what you saw from Sandy Alcantara this year? And do you think he's a top 10 pitcher moving forward?
I'm definitely buying, but top 10 questionable because of the K rate, I think. That's the same concern I have with Webb. I think the K rate kind of limits him. And yeah, I mean, he's taking strides each year. So I'm not going to say it's impossible that he takes the next step. But at the same time, right now, I mean, he was at 24% this year. So it's hard to see. Again, he's sinker heavy. We saw that come down a little bit this year. So that's obviously great to see. He went, you know, he basically swapped out some of the sinker usage for more changeup usage this year, which I think benefited him in a major way. Interestingly enough, he does have at least three pitches that go have a whiff rate above 25%, the four seam even at 23.3%, and the slider at 38.3%, which is pretty impressive there. So yeah, I do like the overall arsenal that he has. And I think that there is another level here. He's just been so consistent. I mean, you look and he's made strides each season. Like I mentioned, he's a 3.49 ERA, but you know, last year in 2020, shortened season, but 3.0 ERA, and this year 3.19. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, the Sierra is a little higher at 3.68 and the FIP at 3.42. So he always runs low BABIPs though, which makes me think that he will continually outperform those metrics because he does run a little lower BABIP. So that'll be interesting to see. And so here's my question, here or later, do you take Logan Webb or Sandy Alcantara? Because I would take Alcantara over Webb personally.
I would as well.
I would take Webb.
Yeah. I figured you'd go that way, but I think it's close. I actually do think it's pretty close here.
I mean, I'm not one who likes to chase wins, but you got to realize with Alcantara, unless they do something really dramatic this offseason, they're not going to compete. So how many wins are you really going to see from Alcantara? And whether we like it or not, that's typically a category in fantasy baseball. I think a lot of people are really going to like him are really into him, which I understand is the strikeout rate spiked in the final 2 months of the season.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
It went to 28.4%, and it's because he went to the slider more, which made sense because that slider took a step forward. He upped the velocity on that pitch, and it basically increased strikeout rate by like 6 points. So for me, though, I'm probably going to be lower on him just because, one, I'm afraid he won't get any wins, and two, I don't really know if that strikeout rate's going to stick. You know, we haven't really seen him have a 28% strikeout rate like he did in those final 2 months. He's typically around 24, which, you know, doesn't give him as much upside either, you know, compared to like even someone like a Freddie Peralta. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah, the biggest benefit to Alcantara, in my opinion, is the volume. I mean, he's an innings eater.
Get 200 innings, yeah.
Yeah, and even still, I know there was a 50 inning difference, but Alcantara still had 9 wins to Webb's 11 wins. But at the same time, Alcantara had 15 losses, so you have to factor that in too. So, yeah, if the innings get closer, obviously the Giants are a really good team, so the wins are going to be there more for Webb. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting next year. I could see it being really close between the two.
I'll tell you what, quality start league, I'm taking Alcantara, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and how did a guy with a 3.19 ERA over 205 and two-thirds have 15 losses? Like, that is just – that shouldn't happen. I don't care, like, how bad the team is. That shouldn't happen.
Like, didn't DeGrom do that 1 year? DeGrom had, like
– DeGrom does it every year.
Yeah, right. Absurd amount of losses and an insane ERA.
You just hit a nerve with Nagel. Yeah. Like, every year, we don't support him. It takes me back to the days where when Felix Hernandez was top three pitcher in baseball, but like winning 10, 11, 12. Like, seriously? I think 1 year he had like 19 or something like that, but every other year it was like 13 or less. And he had like a 2.20 ERA and a 0.9 whip or something like that. I'm like, Seattle, come on. Like, I hate, and I had him in a lot of keeper teams, a lot of redraft teams. He was my boy And it's like, oh, he went 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, and they lost 1-0, of course. Like, that is so frustrating. I'm sure it is for him, too, when he had the pitcher like that. But
oh, yeah.
With Sandy, I'm buying him as a top 10 arm. And I do believe in that late season K jump that Simeone mentioned. That's what I was going to bring up, too. It was, you know, in addition to, you know, the slider in his changeup also was much better. At least in terms of whiffs, you know, he got hit a little hard in the changeup that final month, but really improved overall the last couple of months. The whiff rate went up. Like, his whiff rate on the changeup, for example, was around like 20%, give or take, in June and July. Then that jumped to 33.3 in August and 34.5 in September. So I do think he has the stuff. Like, yeah, you look at these two, Alcantara and Logan Webb, they're, you know, at the surface, they're pretty similar pitchers. You know, obviously different, slightly different arsenals, but I do think there's that chance that he elevates and that K rate we saw from the last couple months of the season does stick. So that's kind of why I have him a bit higher than I have Logan Webb. But yeah, and obviously Alcantara is just absolutely filthy, like throwing 100 mile an hour with movement. You know, he's got the really good four pitch arsenal. That slider is really good. The changeup's really good. That's really developed. Both of those developed this year. So I'm definitely buying. I don't see any really holes in Alcantara. Plus, he gets, like Chris mentioned, he gets the innings too. Well, he's one of, I think, four pitchers this year, or was it maybe just three pitchers that went over 200 innings this year? So, gotta love that. That's half the battle, it seems like nowadays. But Simeone, what do you think about Trevor Rogers though? Because he really bursted onto the scene first couple of months. He got injured, kind of fell off a little bit, and then Infinite had a couple good starts end of the year. Are you buying Trevor Rogers as, let's say, a top 20 arm moving forward?
Trying to see where I have him ranked. Just outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I do like his stuff. I know he went through a lot of personal stuff. So he had to miss a bunch of time there. But, you know, it's the Marlins to me are almost just like the Giants when it comes to pitcher development too. Just really, really good at it. And you could tell that Rogers has just improved tremendously. I really like the fastball. The changeup is a phenomenal pitch. Does everything basically you want from it. I think the key with him too is he has really good command. Like if you look at the placement of his pitches, they could like not be more perfect in my eyes. Like he's putting them right in the right spots. So that on top of the whiff potential that he brings, I think he's definitely a really good pitcher. I do buy into what he was doing. I think because of everything that happened, you know, obviously it derailed his complete breakout season. So I buy into it. I don't have him as top 20, but top 25 I could do.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I think I agree in that area. And I think he can make a jump as well. I especially think if he continues what we saw, you know, for most of the 2021 season, then that's definitely the case. And, you know, we mentioned some personal things happened and he went on the field for, you know, August and some of September, but, you know, we hope that he comes back and returns to form there. And I think he can, I think he's more than capable of it. It'll be interesting to see how his innings build for next year, but yeah, certainly long-term, I think for like a dynasty league, he's a guy you can easily value as a top 20 arm and should go out and get, because maybe his value has dropped a little bit because of just the lack of innings late in the season. People kind of forget the names of their guys popped up, and you know, you have guys in the playoffs that are popping up as well and performing well. So Trevor Rogers may be a forgotten name, not to a full extent, but I think you can get him discounted right now and probably early on for redraft league. So certainly buying in there due to all the factors that you mentioned. I think he's got a lot going for him. I would be interested to see if he brings the four seam usage down a little bit. Obviously it's a good pitch, it works, but you know, using it, you know, it's highly as he does, like near 60% of the time, is always interesting to me when guys use the fastball that much. But
Lance Lynn.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess it works for some.
Yeah.
And if you're what was the site that tweeted out that like, oh, Lance Lynn threw like 94% of his pitches were fastballs? And I'm like, all right, that's not, you gotta break it down more than that. Like his cutter is not a fastball. Yeah, it's gonna find out. They just grouped all of his fastballs together. I guess cutter's like what, 87? Like
I mean, technically they're right.
Yeah, cut. Yeah,
but
cut
they're not.
Fastball. Yeah, they're right, but they're not right. But yeah, I saw that tweet. There's like ESPN stats and info or something like that. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. I'm definitely buying Trevor Rogers. I think I have higher than most now. I think I have him as a top 15 arm. I like the three pitch mix. Yeah, the fastball usage is a little high, especially when he has a really good changeup. I won't be surprised if you saw like the changeup add about 8 to 10% usage next year, and the fastball down that same amount. Get that changeup up over 30% usage, because that's a very good changeup. 199 batting average against, 33.7% whiff rate. That's the thing too. He can get whiffs with all three of his pitches: four seamer, changeup, and slider. Slider leading the way at 40.8%. Just three really good pitches. He already seems like he knows how to mix pitches well. Limits hard contact. Limits, you know, his barrel rate was very, very good. Hard hit rate was very good as well. You know, walk rate did come down a little bit from his rookie year. So he's kind of creeping in that right direction for me. Just does a lot of things well. So I'm definitely all in. I don't have him quite as high as Alcantara, but I don't think they're too far apart. And I would take him over both Webb and Gausman in 2022. And I think I might be in the minority there. So I can see myself getting a fair share of Trevor Rogers. Yeah, I'm definitely out there with that one, but I'm fine with it. If that means I can get Trevor Rogers a couple rounds lower and I think he's better, that's good for me. We'll see if it works out. Got to play the game, see if it works out. But yeah, I definitely love both these. Yeah, and you mentioned, Michael, the Miami is just one of the best pitching development orgs nowadays. They're definitely like a top five pitching development organization. You see all the depth they have. It's like endless, and down into the minors with Max Minor and Yuri Perez and Jake Etter and all of them. It's just a lot of good talent throughout that org. So it's going to be really, really fun to see that develop over the next couple of years. Moving up to Milwaukee here, we got another duo here. Freddie Peralta, who we talked about a little bit earlier, and Aaron Ashby, who was really good this year, except the one time I needed him in my home keeper league playoff, my one head-to-head league I have left, my home keeper league. He came in on that Sunday and gave up like six earned and two and a two-thirds of an inning. So I'm a little bitter right now. But let's start with Freddie Peralta, obviously, as I have him as a top 10 arm for 2022. And I had someone tweet at me the other day saying, "Hey, my buddy said that Peralta's just a two-pitch guy, so I shouldn't be buying into him."
I saw that.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, his third and fourth pitches in terms of usage, curveball, changeup, 10.9, 9.8% respectively, an XBA under 200 on both, an X-slug under 300 on both, and a whiff rate right in the vicinity of 30% on both. Like, his fourth pitch for whiff rate is the curve at 28.2%. So he has, and even his sinker, which is only 1.2% usage, like, he can just miss bats consistently. Like, I'm not gonna count the sinker. So all four of his pitches, XBA under 200. None of them got really hit hard. He can miss bats to them all. Yeah, the walk rate's a bit high, but it's almost like Corbin Burns last year. I'm not gonna say he's gonna make that Corbin Burns leap and be a top three arm in 2022, but I am 100% buying what we saw from Freddie Peralta, especially with Milwaukee and how they've developed arms lately. Like him, Burns. I got Gausman on the brain still, and Woodruff, and now maybe Ashby. You know, this really good pitching development system there too. So I am buying. Clegg, are you buying as well?
Yeah, to an extent. I think when you can couple, you know, the strikeout rate that he has, and, you know, missing bats plus limiting hard contact, obviously it's kind of a recipe for success there. And, you know, he did that pretty consistently this year. One, probably the biggest concern is the walk rate. Like you mentioned, I think that he's definitely capable of, you know, seeing that lower with time. But, you know, look at all those pitches and just how well they performed. It's interesting, though, to see. I mean, you know, I was watching him today against the Braves, and it's interesting they pulled him so early, but he was pitching well.
That was really weird. Yeah.
He was so weird.
Yeah.
It was probably some like third time through the order thing, you know, some one of those reasonings. But yeah, he was just dominating today.
I really think they just wanted to get the bats going, and were hoping that they could get.
I think they felt like they had to score there. That's the problem. I think that was the problem.
Yeah. But yeah, he just does it. And, you know, early in the season, I thought that maybe it was just a flash in the pan and he would, you know, fall back to earth, but he really didn't. I think overall he locates the four seam pretty well, which is his predominant pitch. He can bury that slider, which is obviously great too. You get the right-handers to chase and, you know, go to that back foot of left-handed hitters, and even the curveball, you know, valuable pitch as well. So yeah, I think he's one that could take the next step, but it's also, you wonder, like, is this the ceiling that we've seen this year? And I think that that's certainly possible, but at the same time, I'm not going to doubt it, because if the walk rate does come down, then I think you're going to see him take that next step forward. But right now, I think we maybe have seen the peak from him, but I still think he'll be a solid pitcher moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure. Like, yeah, the walk rate is a tad high, but you know, it's like 9.5%, which is kind of worrying.
It's not that bad.
It's not it's not outrageous.
And yeah, if it was 12%, I'd be a little more worried, but it's not great, obviously. I'd like to see it like maybe 7%, but yeah, I don't think it's gonna like hold him back at all, though.
Yeah, if you break it down by month to the last couple months, it really dropped. Like it went to like 6%.
Yeah, which is, you know, if he pitches that level, that's, you know, great. That's phenomenal.
I do think he has top five. I think he can get up, maybe not quite to Burns, but like, you know, where we have that tier one cluster of like, what, six or seven guys right now. The back end of that's probably like, what, Bieber and right now. I think he can get into that back end of that cluster. Like kind of be like high end tier two, back end tier one type of guys. So I think he's got all the ingredients to do so. I don't know. What do you think, Simeon?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything you guys saying, I agree with. I just think, you know, he's got a lot of strikeout capability there. I'd like to see him throw maybe the curveball, not in the zone as often, but because he's got a low chase rate, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, his stuff is so good that he could live in the zone if he wanted to. I don't really think it would matter. And like, you were mentioning he used to be a two-pitch pitcher, but that is not the case anymore.
Right.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He has four solid pitches, and it actually kind of surprised me when I was really looking into him. And I feel like he's a lot more of a complete pitcher than people think.
Yeah, he's definitely made that step forward this year. So I'm buying him. What are your thoughts on Aaron Ashby? Do you think he's the next breakout pitcher in this long line we've seen from Milwaukee, Michael?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like that his main pitch is a slider, and he throws it a ton, which is pretty cool, especially because it was so good this year. I mean, again, high whiff rate, high chase rate, you know, put in the zone a lot too, so he has good control over it. And I think he has a complete arsenal too, because then you got the sinker. You throw the sinker in there, which creates a lot of ground balls, and then the changeup has an 8-mile-an-hour difference between itself and the sinker. So I just feel like everything looks so good with him. But it is a small sample, so it's kind of hard to really tell how that would look over a longer period of time. But I think overall, regardless, he looks like the next good thing in Milwaukee. And if he gets a spot, I mean, I feel like you got to jump all over him.
I think he's going to be a hot, you know, kind of mid rounds, you know, pick next year. Because what he showed this year, and then, you know, our friend James Anderson, great analyst, you know, kind of pumped him up a couple weeks ago as saying he was like, you know, his number, I think he has him as number two pitching prospect now behind Shane Boz. But so he pumped him up. So I think that'll inflate his ADP even more. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that all the ingredients are there for a breakout. He ticks a lot of boxes, and, you know, a guy that I've liked as a prospect who, honestly, I didn't see getting to this level, but it's certainly fun to see. You mentioned you get the whiff rate, you get the ground ball rate. It's a great combo there, and he makes guys chase with a slider, and I think he's got a pretty well-rounded arsenal as well. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if he uses the curveball more. I think that could be a solid pitch as well if you give him four pitches, or even right now he's got three solid pitches, so you know, it's you can't just sit there and call him a bullpen risk because he's been used in the pen, because he's got three solid pitches. I think he'll get the chance. I've actually heard, I'm not sure if it's legit, but I've heard that Milwaukee will plan to do like a 6-man rotation for a lot of next year, but who knows? That could, it's still early, so that definitely gives him a spot. Yeah, which will be dumb when you have guys like Woodruff and Burns who can eat innings. So, but still, Ashby should probably be their fourth best starter. I mean, easily better than Hauser, in my opinion, even though Hauser's had a solid year. But you definitely have those top three locked in. I don't see why Ashby doesn't get a chance at the rotation. Like, there's no reason for them not to give him a shot, and I think he could easily run with the spot.
I can see us doing like our write-ups for pitchers in like the year 2035, and we'll talk about like, this pitcher led the league in innings pitched last year with 112. It's like, like every Tampa Bay has a 9-man rotation. What was that?
I really hope that doesn't happen.
I hope not either. But it's like I keep having like these thoughts. And I'm like, it's like keep trending down and down. Yeah. Like, I did a tweet about, I don't know, it was midseason, but the number of 200 inning pitchers every year since like 2000, and I think it was like 20. There was like 50 something back then. And then it was like in the 40s, 30s, and that dropped from like 36 to like 15 in 2017. And then we had like three this year. It just keeps going down and down. I hate 6-man rotations, especially when you have all, like you mentioned, all the arms that Milwaukee has. Like, I want to throw Burns every fifth. I want to throw Woodruff every fifth and Freddie Peralta. Like, I want them pitching more often. Obviously, you don't want to overuse them. There's a limit there, but I don't want them pitching less often. I want them pitching more often. Than some of my backing guys. So, Ashby, what do you think? You think he's a top 200 pick next year? You think that's fair? Or do you think he goes higher than that?
I don't know, like 13th
round of a 15 teamer or so.
Kind of like you said, I feel like I could see him maybe getting a lot of hype closer to the season.
Yeah.
But
where do you have him in your rankings? You have to give me the exact numbers. Give me like a general range. Top what?
For pitchers,
yeah,
I have him in the 70 range, but that is mainly also because I don't know if he's going to be in the rotation.
That's fair. I think I have him. I don't have my sheet in front of me. I think I have him like low 60s.
Yeah, I mean, if he's in the rotation, I'd probably bump him into the 50s, maybe that's top fair. 50. I'd have to really look, but where I am right now.
I took him in. I'm doing a best ball draft. I took him at 223 overall, and you think with pitching pushed up. So he may start in Roto like 250 or so, but I could see him bumping in the top 200.
Yeah, time we get to January, February. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can definitely see that. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side and talk about, what, 5 or 6 more names. So don't go anywhere.
When you're craving Church's three-piece classic, there's no other option. Two crispy legs, a thigh, and a warm honey butter biscuit are the only way. And that's why we call it a classic. Church's Texas Chicken. Tap the banner to find your nearest location. Offer valid at participating locations.
All right, welcome back. Going over 2021 breakout pitchers with the king of Kelnick hatred, Michael Simeone. Talk 6 intriguing arms already. We got, I think, 6 more on the docket here, so let's get back into it. One more duo here. I've been grouping all the guys from the same team together here. We go up to Toronto now. Robbie Ray and Alek Manoah. Let's start with Robbie Ray. A once very good pitcher, fell off last couple of years. Command and control was definitely his issue. Like, look at last year. Yeah, shortened sample size, obviously, but 17.9% walk rate. That's just not going to get it done anywhere. Led to a 6.62 ERA. Before that, he was kind of like in the high 3, low 4 ERA, but walk rate still one of the worst in the league. Was getting K's, which he's always gotten K's, but the rest of the profile wasn't matching up. But this year, they worked with him, and the result was a 2.84 ERA, 1.04 whip, and somehow, I never thought I'd say that Robbie Ray had a 6.7% walk rate, but he did, and kept the high strikeout rate, 32.1%. Michael, are you buying this?
I don't know if it's going to make me unpopular, but I'm kind of not, actually.
I'm not either.
I loved him coming into last season because it made no sense to me that he was going so late for a pitcher at such a high strikeout rate. But now it's the opposite for me. I think he's going to go too high. I only really see 2 pitches here. So he's another 2-pitch pitcher. But the problem is that the fastball he throws in the zone a ton. That's right. That's how he fixed that walk rate. He said, let me just throw the four seam in the zone basically as much as possible. And he threw it in the zone 62.4% of the time, which is a very high number. But here's the problem is when his fastball's in the zone, it has a 269 ISO and a 321 WOBA, which isn't the best. So I'm afraid that eventually it's going to catch up to him where these hitters are going to start hitting that four seam and just kind of laying off the slider. And plus overall, if you just look at his numbers, I mean, a 268 BABIP and a 90.1 left on base percentage, I just feel like he was definitely a little lucky. I do still have him, I think, top 20, but I think he's going to be going closer to top 10 for a lot of people, maybe top 12. And I just don't think I could buy into that.
Yeah. Somebody's going to draft him first round, like an FBC draft.
Yeah. I think I've seen in a mock or two, he's been going first, early second.
Where did he go in that one we did with Matt Williams? Didn't he go like right near the end of the first or early second in that one? I think he might have.
I didn't do it, so I don't know.
You weren't in that one?
Nah, I didn't.
Oh, I could have sworn you were. Okay.
Nah, I didn't.
Let me pull it up here. Oh, no. He went end of the third. It was only 12 of us, so that was pick 36. Okay, yeah. He'll definitely go higher than that. And then
I bet his ADP is like around pushed up. His ADP will be like 22 when all said and done, I bet. Yeah. It'll be interesting. And no chance I touch that, honestly.
Nah.
So much volatility.
Yeah,
the strikeouts are nice. You mentioned, I think he had the highest strand rate by a significant margin this year of qualified starters. So, you know, that's bound to come down. And in the past, like, you know, in 2017, he had an 84.5% strand rate, 2017, 80%. So, yeah, it's not the realm possibility, but 90% is kind of crazy. And that BABIP was really low as well. So, and you mentioned the zone rate went up significantly, which obviously had a factor in the lowered walk rate, but yeah, I think the fastball location, you know, it didn't harm him, but at times it did. You know, you watched that last start against the Yankees, and that's what kind of killed him, just leaving pitches over the heart of the zone, just hitting the zone too much to an extent. So, yeah, I'm definitely not buying. So, may not be popular with the listeners, but three of us are not buying this. So,
yeah,
take it as you will.
I mean, I'm buying some of the improvements he made. Like, I really do believe that they kind of fixed some of the issues with him locating his fastball. Like you mentioned, Michael, the zone rate on that fastball. His first pitch strike rate went up, you know, about 9.5%. He was missing more bats in the zone, too. Like his zone rate was at career high by a significant margin. His previous career high, his zone swing rate was 66%. 73.1%, you know, in zone contact, stayed in line, chase rate went up. So really a lot of things went up here. Even the whiff rate remains. So he's always had a whiff rate right around 32, 33% that remained in line. He was getting more swings in general. So I definitely do believe that, you know, I don't think he's going to revert back to Robbie Ray of old. Definitely not 2020 Robbie Ray, probably not even pre-2020 Robbie Ray, but I think, I don't see 6.7% walk rate maintaining. I think maybe that goes up another percent or two, 8-9%. You know, all his ERA indicators were, you know, a good 0.7 or so higher than his ERA. So I do think there's some regression coming next year. But I still think he can be a good like back end two. I think he'll be like a mid 3 ERA guy. Still be, you know, one of the elite sources of the strikeouts as he's always been. But definitely a step back. And I would take Alek Manoah over him in 2022 drafts, and I don't think that's going to be common, but I'm buying everything I saw from Alek Manoah this year. I'm upset that I traded him in the dynasty league to James Anderson before the season for, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a decent haul of prospects, but I'm kind of wishing I held on to Alek Manoah. That slider is absolutely filthy, even though, you know, the whiff rate was only 37%, which is, you know, good but not elite, but
it'll go up.
Yeah, it'll go up.
Its numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, the movement profile on that. Like, just look at video. Just go with the old eye test. Go look at it. It's a great slider. Mm-hmm. And 146 batting average against on that slider. You know, nobody could really square it up. 84.3 exit velocity off that. It's a filthy slider. You know, four seamer is very good as well. Sinker is a solid offering. Changeup is kind of sporadically used, but is definitely his fourth pitch, but it's at least good enough to just kind of keep people off the other three and kind of mix that in, give hitters another look. So I am definitely buying, you know, strikeout rate is there. I think he can be a low ERA whip guy. So I'm buying him as I have him as my number 21 pitcher for 2022. And I think that I might bump him inside my top 20 before I kind of put these out there to the world. Clegg, are you buying Manoa at that same level, or are you kind of higher or lower on him?
Yeah, I think that's a good price right now. I think, you know, eventually that could jump significantly, but you know, I think there's a similar upside to like Freddie Peralta here, who we've talked about top 10. So I don't see why that Manoa could not take that step. Like you mentioned, I think the slider may be one of the best sliders in baseball. I really Agreed. Do think it's that good yeah. pitch.
Agreed.
And so mm-hmm. I think that he may continue to use it a little more. Like I'd love to see him start using that even more. I mean, he used it 27.8% of the time this year. I'd love to see it continue to go up. He trended up a little bit towards the end of the season, but you know, still in September ended with about the same rate that he used for the entire season. But yeah, I think the arsenal is pretty well rounded. You know, if he factors in the changeup a little more, I think that's a solid offering as well. So I think he'd have four solid pitches there with the four seam sinker, slider, and changeup. The strikeout upside's there. He commands the ball well, and especially the four seam, he locates up in the zone really well. The sinker, he does need to focus on getting back down in the zone. I think a little bit more. You look at the heat map, it's kind of over the middle. So get that pitch down a hair, and the slider is elite. So yeah, I'm 100% buying what he did.
I like that he has a really high zone whiff rate too, which is good. It's like just as – it's actually higher than Robbie Ray's. I do like Manoa a lot too. I think where he's obviously going to be going lower than Ray, so I think because of price, I'd definitely prefer Manoa over Ray. I don't have him as high as you, Eric. And I have him in the high 20s, not the low 20s.
That's fair.
But I really like the stuff too. I just think, if you could just go to Savant and watch his slider, because it's insane to watch if you haven't seen it. But I think he could certainly take that step forward, but I also think there's potential for maybe a little step back too, just because these major league teams, you know, they're going to have more tape on him. And obviously these, you know, MLB hitters or professionals, they're going to adjust to him and he's going to have to learn to adjust back. So I could see him walking into some woes eventually throughout the season. But besides that, yeah, I like everything about him. It's hard to poke any holes.
Yeah. If you want a quick look, go to Jeff Ponce's Twitter profile at Prospect Jesus. His pinned tweet is a Alec Manoa slider from AAA that made Jeter Downs look like a T-ball player. He missed by about 2 feet off the outside. Elite slider. I guess you answered my question. Who would you have for 2022? Clegg, who do you have for 2022? Manoa or Ray?
I think I'd take Manoa, honestly. That's probably price adjusted too, because you know, in my brain, I'm sitting here thinking and knowing how high Ray's gonna go versus Manoa. But I honestly think they'll be pretty similar. I think they'll return similar value in 2022. But yeah, based on the value, obviously lean Manoa, but in a vacuum, I think they're probably pretty close.
I think if I had my choice, I'd still go Manoa. In fact, I agree that his price tag will be probably at least a couple rounds lower, maybe even 3 rounds lower. It's kind of hard to tell where I see Manoa ending up, but I think it'll be at least 2 rounds lower, maybe even 3. So definitely at those price tags, I would take Alec Manoa. Let's keep it in the AL East here. Another breakout rookie this year, who's still pitching in the playoffs. So maybe not by the time you listen to this, maybe the Red Sox have ousted the Rays. But Shane McClanahan has been looking absolutely filthy this year. 25 starts, 3.43 ERA, 1.27 WHIP, 7.2% walk rate, and a 27.3% K rate. And this really got better as the season went on. Like, you looked at him early in the year, like he showed that he was filthy. I think watching him pitch, watch a lot of his starts this year, just look like he just got just better at sequencing, just better as a pitcher. It went from being kind of like a thrower with filthy stuff to a pitcher able to locate, sequence, change eye level. And he's got the stuff to miss bats at an elite clip, like 27.3% already very good. I think there's a chance he gets up over 30%. He can miss bats with all four of his offerings, but those three secondaries, slider, curveball, and changeup. He was 0.1% from being the third pitcher in baseball this year to have three pitchers with a 40%+ whiff rate, the other two being Corbin Burnes and Dylan Cease. So he can miss bats. The fastball, I think, even though 96.4 from the left side looks great, did get hit pretty hard, high batting average against, 308. Slug was 500. The expected stats are even higher, XBA and X slug. So fastball will have to improve. His command of that is still kind of inconsistent, but I'm all on board with McClanahan. Simeon, what are your thoughts?
I feel like you legitimately just read off my notes here, Eric. I was going to point out.
I have a camera in your house. You didn't know that?
The four seam could get in trouble. But I think that the amount of rise that he gets from it, I think that'll help temper that from getting any worse or anything. Even if he doesn't improve command that much, I think just the amount of movement he gets on it will just kind of help out. But yeah, I mean, high fastball velocity, high strikeout to walk ratio, super low Sierra, the slider and curveball both create a ton of whiffs. It's like there's nothing not to like here. Maybe innings limit you could maybe point out, yeah, perhaps, but besides that, he looks so good.
And it's weird. 150 innings. You know, he was 123 this year. 150, I think, is reasonable.
Yeah. And this year was so weird for me when I was doing my rankings, because I typically don't like younger guys. I typically am more suspect of them, and I always seem to be lower on them compared to other people's rankings. And then this year, I feel like I'm so high on them. But it's hard not to be, because guys right. like him, Webb, and Peralta, and whoever else, it's just like they look so good. And it's not like we're looking at crazy small samples with them. And it's you just like, how can you deny it? So anyway, I just think he has so much potential, and he could definitely even take another step forward. And I have him top 25 right now.
As do I. And looking at Savant, the similar pitchers to McClanahan based on velocity and movement, Robbie Ray, Blake Snell, Carlos Rodon. Those are three of them. The other two are Kyle Mueller and Ryan Weathers, which is kind of odd. But Ray, Snell, and Rodon, pretty Ryan good company to be in. What's that?
That's a weird one, Weathers.
I know.
Where does that come from?
Like a 16% strikeout, right? You wouldn't think he'd be up there with like Snell and Robbie Ray. But yeah, it's kind of not sure where they got that. But yeah, definitely some good company to be in with those three I mentioned. Clegg, what are your thoughts here on McClanahan?
Yeah, I think y'all covered that pretty well. I'm a big fan as well. Just don't look at what he did tonight against the Red Sox, and maybe he'll tank his price a little bit. He got absolutely rocked, but it's okay. When you look past it, look at the larger body of work. And if you adjust values based on, you know, one inning of playoff game, then you probably shouldn't, just saying. So, you know, if somebody wants to drop his value, that's fine. I'll gladly scoop him up, because I think that he's going to be phenomenal. The only knock on him, I think, is he did get hit a little hard this year. And I think you can attribute that to some of the fastball location, just left it over the heart of the zone too much. You know, you correct that with that velocity, you get it up in the zone, it's going to be hard to hit. So, yeah, he's definitely capable of doing that. And it's a small tweak for better results to an already great season. So, yeah, I think it's definitely there for him to take the next step forward.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm having a heart attack over here, because it's now 5-4. Boston in the top of the eighth, and Kiermaier just had a double, leadoff double in the top of the eighth. So I'm a little Brazier.
That's why.
Brazier, who always you ever notice that Brazier's head is always like tilted to the side a little bit? Anyone ever notice that? Like he's always kind of like that confused dog look, you know, and they just throw their head at you. Like, what did you just say?
What does he want me to throw?
You want me to throw a slider? What? And now Rosarena's they get top of the order. So Rosarena and then Wander up. This is not good. Yeah, and they're leaving him in. Okay.
Oh, you know Wander's gonna hit.
Wander hit a tank off Hauk, so
yeah, Wander's just gonna be first, probably. You see Wander, I know this is completely off topic, but since we brought it up, you think Wander goes first round by the time we come to like February?
No,
you don't think he goes that high?
I don't think anyone's that dumb.
There's too much talent at the top.
I think he goes second round though. Like I'm writing an article right now. I did that one projecting the first round, and I'm doing one for the second round. I have him in the second round. I think he definitely goes second round. Like pick 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, towards the end, definitely.
I don't know. He hits a few more bombs and has some three-hit games. Who knows? Like, people go gaga over Wander Franco, rightfully so. All right, getting back on subject here. Another rookie breakout this year, but one that was just much quieter, maybe because people hate this team. I don't know. But Luis Garcia had a very good year. And 30 total outings, 28 of those starts, 155 and a third innings. 3.48 ERA, 1.18 WHIP, 26.4% strikeout rate for the Astros. He's quietly doing his thing, and he was very consistent throughout the year, too. One of the more consistent rookies this year. Simeon, what are your thoughts on Luis Garcia moving forward?
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of McClanahan's profile, where his one weakness is the fastball. He's got some locations issues with it, and it gets hit pretty hard. But besides that, he's got some really good breaking balls. I mean, I just want to talk about his movement. His movement's insane. The slider is above average in vertical movement and is at an elite level horizontally. The changeup is above average in horizontal movement. The cutter is above average in horizontal movement. The four seems above average in vertical movement. Like, he just gets so much movement off of his pitches, where I think his strikeout potential is higher than what we saw this season. I think it was, let me check here real quick. So his strikeout was 26.4%. And his swing strike percentage was 13.4. So I could really see that case percentage getting closer to like 28%. So I think he could even grow a little bit in terms of that. But like McClanahan, I think he's got to fix that four seam and the command issues, and to really kind of like propel himself even further. But I do like him a lot, and I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. And Houston's another organization that's done a great job developing outside of Forrest Whitley, obviously, that kind of went downhill. But they seem to, like, all their guys were never like highly touted prospects. They were decent prospects, but like, the Urquidy's of the world, the Luis Garcia's of the world, like, these weren't like highly touted guys, but they seem to get the most out of these guys, turned them into valuable pitchers at the major league level. So, yeah, Luis Garcia, I think what he showed this year is legit. You know, the xERA was almost a full run higher. But I'm not really reading into that too much. Like, I look at the arsenal here. Like you mentioned, the movement profile is very, very good here. He can miss bats. He had four pitches, all of which he used between above 9% of the time, with a 36% whiff rate or higher. You know, the cutter, slider, changeup, and curveball. So definitely agree with a lot of you said there. Clegg, what are your thoughts?
That's what I was exactly going to mention. You talked about McClanahan almost joining those ranks of having three pitches with a 40% or higher whiff rate, but he was right there. I mean, the changeup was had a 39.1% whiff rate, the curve at 36.2% whiff rate. So I think you fix the fastball command issues and it's the same thing. So I think it's a pretty fair comp there to say that the McClanahan profile that, you know, could be, you know, equally as good, in my opinion. You look at this year and he had a tremendous year. So I don't see why it shouldn't continue that way moving forward. I mean, you know, he didn't get hit quite as hard as McClanahan. I mean, his average exit velocity is much lower, but even still, I think there's some work to do. I mean, you know, with the fastball velo being a little lower, you have to be able to locate it better. So that's what he's going to have to work on. But overall, I'm a big fan of the arsenal. I think that he's going to be a great value in drafts next year. I'm not sure where he goes, but I do think that he'll be, you know, really good value.
Agreed. Would you guys be comfortable with him as your, let's say, SP3 next year?
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah. I think he's that good.
You think he gets in the SP2 territory?
No, I don't think so.
No, not quite there.
No.
I think SP3. That's kind of like where I was initially going, was SP3. So yeah, yeah. I think if I have two quality arms, I take the, you know, I wouldn't even say it's a gamble with him. I wouldn't even say that, but I go with the upside play, the young guy that maybe could be an SP2 by end of the year. I think he's definitely got that potential. I wouldn't rule that out. So moving on, we have two more names here before we get out of here. Let's go to one that was really a breakout in the second half of the season. Ranger Suarez, the Philadelphia Phillies. He made 12 starts and 27 relief appearances. Moved into the bullpen second half of the year, and that's when people really kind of got onto him. Finished with a 1.36 ERA, an even one whip, and 25.6% strikeout rate in 106 innings. One of the top xERAs in the league, top 4% there. A lot of his other metrics, xSlug, WOBA, xWOBA, hard hit rate, barrel rate, all in the top like 10 to 12% of the league. Barrel rate was 2.6%. So he's kind of one that I'm having a hard time ranking him in 2022. Like, I think I have him in the 60s right now. Maybe that's a little low. Maybe that's a little high. I'm kind of trying to figure out how I value this, you know, second half outburst from Ranger Suarez. Michael, where are you valuing him for 2022? And are you buying this?
Yeah, I have him at 61. So we're okay. Kind of, so we're in the same
ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah. Reminds me of like a Hendricks. Basically just relies on really good command. The strikeout rate's a little inflated because it's going to be a little higher since he was in relief a lot. Right. But his ability to induce weak contact is insane. Eric, you're reading off of my sheet. I was just going to point out, the exit velocity is super low. The Brower rate of 2.6% is absurd. The hard hit rate is low, right? So that's why the XRE ERA is so good, because it's based off contact. He's inducing a lot of it, a lot of weak contact. But I don't really think strikeout potential is there. So that's definitely going to limit him. Also, small sample. So it's kind of hard to really buy into it as of right now. I just kind of have him in that Kyle Hendricks range too, like kind of in that range where pitchers will probably give you decent ratios, but the strikeouts won't necessarily be there.
Yeah. For reference, his K rate as a starter was an even 25%. As a reliever, 26.6, not a huge gap, but yeah, I kind of echo your thoughts there. I don't see him. Like I said, he has a good arsenal that really lies on those three pitches. So, yeah, but I don't see any one of those three being like a really high whiff rate. Like his changeup got a 39.8. I don't know if I believe that. So I do think the whiff rate, the strikeout rate does come down next year. So I'm still having a hard time valuing him, but I think in the 60s is fine. I'd be okay with him as like my SP5 or so. I don't think I'd want him as like one of my top three or four, which was where he might be drafted. I don't know. I can't figure out where his ADP is. But, Clegg, jump in. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I kind of echo that. I was going to mention the strikeout rate as a starter stayed pretty consistent. Even as a starter, he had a 1.51 ERA, 2.35 FIP, which is pretty impressive. I like the combo of getting the ball on the ground at a high rate plus the strikeouts. I think the strikeouts could regress some, but even if he's, 23, 24% guy with the ground ball rate, it could play. I'm impressed that he built up innings so quick. He went from being a reliever and just jumped. He threw a complete game, at the end of September. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. I've never seen a guy build up innings that quickly. His first start out was 3 innings and 2.2, 4 and a third. And then it jumped. All of a sudden he's at 6 innings. And it's like his last couple starts were 6 innings, 6 innings, 6 innings, 9, and then 7. So pretty impressive. He's efficient too, which, he doesn't throw a ton of pitches, which is why he can go deeper into games. So, it could be a flash in the pan to end the year. It's hard to say for sure, but I'm like y'all. I don't know where he'll go in drafts, and I think that'll kind of be the telling thing of whether I'll have him on teams or not. So it'll be interesting.
Absolutely, Will. Last name on the list here, Carlos Rodon, former top prospect turned. He had some injuries, some poor performance, but really, it kind of took the Lucas Giolito route, though he had a few years where he was just like decent, but not great. Then really had struggled 2019 and 2020, and though 2020 was a very small sample size, but came back this year, 2.37 ERA, 0.96 WHIP, and a 34.6% K rate in 132 and two thirds. So he was battling some injuries down the stretch. Clegg, I'll kick it over to you here first. Are you value? I've seen him kind of in the back end ace, high end two territory, depending where you look. Are you buying him at that level moving forward?
No, because of the injury risk. I just think it's too high. And, he's been good, and he's shown in the past that he's capable of being a solid arm, especially he's a high end, prospect, third overall draft pick in 2014. Very talented arm, but I just don't think he can stay healthy. I think the performance was very good this year. Obviously, I think there's regression. He's not going to pitch to a low 2 ERA again, but even if he's a low 3 ERA, it's a solid arm. I just worry about the innings. You saw the innings were mounting up, gets hurt, and that's what I worry about moving forward ultimately. While I think the performance can be good and I think he can be a top 20 arm, I just can't really go there because of the injury risk. So I think he's more of an arm that's going to be that I'm going to be fading just for that point, because I think he's going to go a little high in drafts for my likings.
Yeah, that is one of my concerns. But then my second concern is, though he does have a changeup, threw it 12.5% of the time, it was terrible. It was, he got a decent whiff rate on it, but the command of it was not very good. And you look at the metrics on it, 367 batting average against, 612 slug, 419 MOBA. This was not a good pitch. And he gives up a lot of fly balls. Launch angle is up there. He's always going to be, a high home run guy for the most part. So I'm not buying him quite at this level, but Simeon, What are your thoughts here? Take us home.
Yeah. I'm just going to reiterate what both of you said, a combination of the two. Yeah, I have some concerns with the changeup. I don't think it's that good either, which leads him to a two-pitch pitcher. But the slider and fastball are just so unbelievably good where it probably wouldn't matter. I definitely have him ranked lower than probably most people. I think I have him around like 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but because of the injuries. I mean, I was actually talking to Derek Rhodes about it a little bit, and we were just going through it. In 2017, shoulder inflammation. 2017, again, shoulder inflammation. 2018, shoulder injury. 2020, shoulder soreness. 2021, shoulder soreness / fatigue. That shoulder is not holding up, and that scares the crap out of me. Yes, all the potential of the world, really good stuff, but too much injury risk for me to take him where he's going to end up going.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat there. And one thing, looking at his Savant page here, going back to that, the similar pitchers to him based on velocity and movement, and there's a particular name that pops up twice. They give you five names. This one name has popped up twice, and now that I think about it, it's a great comp. Michael, are you looking at it right now?
No.
Okay, I want to see if you guys can guess this player. Similar arsenal, good fastball, good slider from the left side, injury, was pretty much injury prone his entire career. Think about what he debuted 10-ish years ago, around there.
I already saw it. I was literally sitting right there on the
page. Oh, you already okay, don't give it away. Send me.
Yeah.
I'll give you still playing.
Give him a team that he played on.
Or I'll go with division. He was AL Central predominantly, or at least when he was good and came up, he was AL Central.
I have no idea.
Okay, this might give it away. Minnesota.
And no, it's not Yoan Santana.
Obviously.
He pitched with Santana, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, I can't even think.
Francisco Liriano.
Okay. I would have never even thought of him.
Yeah, I was like, that's a weird name when I saw that.
But that it kind of makes sense, though. Yeah, I was thinking like, yeah. I remember Liriano had a good fastball, good slider from the left side. Just couldn't stay healthy. That might be he might be Liriano 2.0. But all right, that's gonna wrap us up. Before we get out of here, Michael, I'll give you the floor here. Anything you want to pump up over at SP Streamer?
Yeah, I mean we redid our entire website, and we're gonna be debuting it, I guess, if you want to call it a debut. I don't know, but we're gonna have it launched most likely Monday. And as well as my top pitcher rankings and a couple new articles on there as well. And besides that, that's it.
It's going to have a background image of Jared Kelenic. Is that
correct? Yeah.
I heard my sources within the SB Streamer world tell me that is a background image of Jared Kelenic. Can you confirm or deny that?
His face is not allowed on my website anywhere.
If anybody tries writing about Kelenic, Simeon just shuts him down. He's like, no, you're not going to do that. There will be no, unless it's like an article about how much he sucked this year. Maybe that you'll allow.
It's
that.
So funny because I don't even not like him. Like, I literally just did it to bother you at first, Eric, because I thought it was funny. And then we had the bet, and then I had to go all in at that
right.
point. Yeah. And the best part is when people thought we were serious.
I was just
and they were
to
like,
say that.
How, why do you hate him so much? I don't get it. I'm like, no, yeah. I'm joking.
Yeah, I was going to say that people like thought we were like legit like dueling, and I'm like, no, this
fighting.
Is total,
yeah.
110% a shtick. Like we talk about it behind the scenes, like how funny it is.
Yeah,
it's just like a thing that we started. Yeah, we started, you know, poking jokes at each other, and it just kind of grew from there with the bet and everything. But yeah, it was fun. It was a fun little ride. But
it was.
Yeah, that's gonna wrap us up. Thanks, Michael, for coming on. That was a lot of fun. We'll have to have you on again later on this offseason. We'll talk some more pitching, obviously. So we'll have you back on. Whenever yes. you want to come on, you can come back on.
I appreciate it. As long as it's not a weekend, let me know.
I know. Yeah, for those of you listening on a Tuesday or one day after our normal release, you know, Simeon over here couldn't record on a weekend for I don't know why, but we had to record tonight on Monday.
I'm a very popular person, Eric. Okay, I have social events to attend to.
Social events. Did you just get back from vacation? Should you be working now?
Well, I mean, I'm getting ready for my next vacation in Arizona. You know?
Yeah,
I'm
yes.
in vacation mode.
Social back events. Month. I'm going to see you guys in 2 days.
But
this
is
give you guys a hug in 2 days. It's going to be awesome.
This is a work event. You know, air quotes. This is a work event, right? We're not taking this as a vacation. This is a work
yeah,
event.
True.
Kind of short of both. But All right. Thanks to everyone for listening again this week. We hope you all enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Michael is at SP Streamer. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at AirCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. And of course, check out SPStreamer.com as well. And make sure to tune in again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to DC, diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.